Listening Library presents The Pack Number 3, Two Truths and a Lion by Lisi Harrison. Read for you by Emma Galvin. For those of you brave enough to be who you are, keep lighting the way so others can find you and eventually see themselves. 1. Sadie Sampson shot past the Douglas firs, navigating mud, rocks, and fallen branches at 48 miles per hour, twice the speed of an average human. It was perfect for outrunning cops and watchdogs. She would have been even faster if she hadn't been carrying 2 50-pound bags of sugar. "Next Sunday, these sugar bags will be real people," she told her packmate Lindsay, who was running beside her. Not because Lindsay needed reminding. Operation Cage Rage had been her idea, but rather because after 1 month of training and scheming, Sadie couldn't believe their top secret mission was only 7 days away. "Unless," Lindsay said with a devilish purr.
"Unless what?"
"Unless we kept on running and go."
"No,"
Sadie interrupted. "We have a plan. Can we please stick to it?" Lindsay let out a gusty sigh. "Fraidy cat." The accusation made Sadie's stomach churn. This one sounded serious, unlike the dozens of times they jokingly called each other fraidy cats.
"I'm not afraid," Sadie panted. "I just want to do it properly."
That part was true. Sadie did want to do it properly. Breaking into the Institute of Behavioral Science to rescue the Animalites from the dreaded 13th floor was not to be done on a whim. Instead, Sadie and Lindsay were going to capitalize on the chaos of 32 Animalites returning to Charm House next Sunday, after Thanksgiving break, and slip out undetected. They'd dart across the back lawn, charge into these woods, and run 2 miles to Allendale Boys' School. Once at ABS, they'd connect with Lindsay's brother Beak and his 16-year-old friend Hunter. Did Hunter know he had been recruited to drive their getaway car? Obviously not. He thought he was doing them a Thanksgiving solid by taking them to see their father, a man forced to work at IBS over the holiday. While Hunter waited in his car in the IBS parking lot, Beak, Lindsay, and Sadie would slip inside. They weren't exactly sure what would happen next. They still had floor plans to memorize, guard shifts to calculate, escape routes to map, outfits to plan. Why couldn't Lindsay focus on that? But if Sadie was being honest, she'd admit that she was a bit of a fraidy cat, and not just because they'd be breaking into IBS, a mysterious institute filled with imprisoned animalites and evil research scientists. It was dangerous, sure, but Sadie had faith in her animal powers and knew she could defend herself. Her real fear, the one that kept her from being impulsive, was being caught by Headmistress Flora and getting expelled from Charm House. Because then what? Charm House had become Sadie's home. Her friends had become her family. Being released into the wild and sent back to public school, where she'd be picked on and ostracized, was worse than being caged on the 13th floor of IBS. And Lindsay didn't seem to get that. Miss Flora was her grandmother, and Professor Joe was her mother, and Carl Vanderbeek, the evilest evil scientist, was her father. So Lindsay could ditch plans, take chances, and seek adventure. Her family wouldn't kick her out of Charm House, and her father wouldn't cut her open and analyze her guts. Lindsay could risk everything, because she had nothing to lose.
"How are we doing on time?"
Sadie asked, trying to redirect Lindsay's thoughts. The tiger light glanced down at her watch.
"Besting our record by 5 seconds.
"Perfect. We should let Beak know."
Lindsay drew back her head. "Why?"
"Because he's part of the mission."
A wry smile spread across Lindsay's face.
"More like he's part of your mission."
"What does that mean?" Sadie asked, even though she knew.
"It means Operation Make Beak Crush on Me Again is in full effect."
Sadie blushed.
Lindsay was right. If she could impress Beak with her cool-headed leadership skills and regain his trust, maybe his heart would speed up when he saw her, just like it used to. It didn't matter how often Sadie apologized for not telling him that Lindsay escaped Charm House, or how she explained that Lindsay begged her not to tell, and that packmates placed loyalty above all else. Beak downgraded Sadie's status from girlfriend to girlfriend. He blocked her on Tracker, the friend locator app. He stopped texting. He took back his thumb ring. He broke her heart. The weight of missing Beak began to slow Sadie's legs. 100 pounds of sugar started to feel like 1,000. She wanted to rest. She couldn't rest. And then Lindsay dropped her sugar sack onto the dirt trail and took a knee. Not because she was tired. Lindsay stopped because they were on sacred ground. "What do you miss most about her?" Sadie asked, as she lowered herself beside Lindsay. She tried to imagine what it must have been like to be with Kate the day she was abducted by Sheriff Skinner, from this exact spot, and taken to IBS. "I miss how she made normal things fun," Lindsay said, her emerald eyes filling with tears. "How she could bite through bones like they were pieces of celery. How she was always watching and waiting, and then bam! When the time was right, that jaguar would pounce. Oh, and she had the best accessories." She sighed. "Kate must miss those accessories." "I know I do."
"I bet Kate and Amy were quite a team," Sadie said.
"You know, with that whole waiting and pouncing thing." Lindsay's glossy lips lifted into a wide smile. "They used to love sneaking up and scaring us. Taylor and I hated it at the time, but now..." She lowered her gaze.
"Amy still has nightmares about it," Sadie said.
When Sadie arrived at Charm House, Kate was already gone, but she liked being able to add to the conversation. Anything to be part of the pack's history. She still feels bad about it. Lindsay's liquid expression hardened.
"I would too if I closed my eyes, coiled into a ball, and froze while my packmate was being kidnapped."
She shook her head, still finding it hard to believe Amy didn't do more.
"I wish we had been there."
Sadie stood.
"That's why I think we should let Amy and Taylor be part of the mission. They want to rescue Kate just as much as we do. And Amy would probably love a second chance to prove..."
Lindsay growled.
"We've been over this, Sadie lady."
"I know, but we're a pack. We're not supposed to keep secrets," Sadie pressed. "And we could actually use their help. Amy's venom can knock out security guards. Taylor can camouflage and..."
"Cats only," Lindsay insisted.
"Beak isn't a cat, and he's going. He doesn't even have an animal light."
"He's my brother. I trust him."
It didn't matter that the pack painted black stripes on their fingernails to signify their bond, that their pledge spoke of honesty, loyalty, and truth, or that their tagline was paws, claws, and jaws. Gossip moved through Charm House with cheetah speed, and Lindsay clearly didn't want to take any chances.
"Amy could freeze again, and Taylor is always stressing about something," she continued.
"But cats are cool."
Lindsay fixed her emerald green eyes on Sadie and flashed her long claws, which she had masterfully filed into the shapes of various skeleton keys.
"Perfect for lockpicking. We've got this."
"But..." Bzzz, bzzz. Their phones began to vibrate. The new Charm House app, created to eliminate Miss Flora's loudspeaker announcements, which hurt the Animalite's sensitive ears, was delivering a message. "Mandatory assembly in the barn at 6:15 p.m. tonight. Dress in ceremonial capes. Attendance will be taken. Tardiness will not be tolerated."
Yes, they couldn't go on the mission tonight, even if they wanted to.
"Why are we having an assembly on a Sunday?" Lindsay huffed.
Sadie shrugged.
"How are we supposed to get back to school, sneak the sugar bags back into the kitchen, and get dressed in 22 minutes?
"Run like our lives depend on it," Sadie said, because in exactly 1 week, they would.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?